This is HPR episode 1986 entitled, Introduction to Said, Part 2. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 61 minutes long. The summary is, some more about the GNU said command.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello everyone, this is Dave Morris, and I've got episode 2 of my series on the sed command. Now in the last episode we had a look at sed from a fairly simple level. The sort of thing that certainly I learned when I first started using sed. Found it a bit confusing, I have to admit, so I just kept to the simple stuff. We just looked at some of the command line options and we started looking at regular expressions. Well, we're going to look at both of these subjects in a bit more detail this time. And I don't think I said last time, but it's GNU sed that we're looking at here. Probably did refer to it, but I can't remember. And there are quite a few extensions over the original version of sed, which complies with the POSIX standards. These extensions provide a fair number of extra features, but, and here's the point of this, sed scripts that you write in this way are not necessarily portable. So if you're moving to another Unix system or a BSD system or something like that, you might find that they don't work because of these extensions. So just bear that in mind if that's what you're likely to do. Now, there's a couple of new data files I've got in this episode which are mentioned in the notes. We'll talk about them as we come to them. So looking at command line options, we looked at the minus E option to introduce expressions, the minus F option for files, and we'll look at a few more today. There's quite a number of them actually, and I'm not planning to cover all of them in this series. I've referred to the GNU sed manual for the whole list if you ever need them. Start with minus N. There are two other alternatives for this. It's minus minus quiet or minus minus silent. Now, as you probably gathered from last time, sed prints out the pattern space at the end of each cycle through the script. Remember, we talked about this. A line is taken in by sed, stored in a place called the pattern space. Then the script that you've defined is applied to that line, and then it's printed. The minus N option and its variants disable this automatic printing, and sed only produces output when you tell it explicitly. There's a flag to the S command which does this, the P flag, and there's also a P command which we'll talk about next in the next episode. Next option is the minus I option, also referred to as minus minus in hyphen place. This can be followed by a suffix, and what it does is to make sed edit files in place. So what we've been doing so far is to give sed a file or feed it on standard in, or feed some sort of text on standard in, and then it works on it and puts it out on its standard out channel. But in no cases have we actually seen it writing stuff back to the file. You can't just redirect it back to the file because you can't do that sort of thing in Unix. You end up effectively deleting the file if you try that. So the minus I thing is for editing the file in place. So if you provide a suffix, and the usual one is to put .sav or .bak or something after the minus I, then the original file is renamed by adding that suffix to the end of it. And the edited file, the changed file, is given the original name. So when you go looking, you see two files where there were one with this suffix on the end of it, and that's the original copy. If you don't give a suffix at all, then the original file is replaced by the edited file, so you can't go back. Now, by default, sed treats all input files on the command line as a single stream of data. When the minus I option is used, the files are treated separately, so you can edit multiple files this way. There's also a minus S option, which we'll come on to in a little while, which also treats the files separately. Another thing that I didn't know about actually until recently. If the suffix contains an asterisk symbol, then this is actually replaced by the current file name. And I've got an example later on in this episode, example one, which demonstrates how you could use that. So moving on to the next option, minus minus follow minus symlinks, symlinks. This option is relevant to the minus I option, and it's only relevant on systems that know anything about symbolic links. So that's all the Unix systems, I think. Don't think there are any that don't. I don't know. Anyway, if specified, if the file being edited is a symbolic link, the link will be followed and the actual file will be changed. If it's omitted, which is the default, the default behavior is not to follow symlinks, the link will be broken and the actual file will not be changed. So if you ran sed in with a minus I without follow symlinks, and it was the file you were trying to change was a symlink to the real file, you would find that you suddenly had a file of the name relating to the symlink in your directory, and the symlink would have been gone, and the file would then contain whatever the edited text was. It's an easy trap to fall into. I fell into it just today while putting together some examples for this series. So be aware of that one. It's actually quite potentially problematic. I mean, it doesn't cause any damage, but it messes things up a bit. So I mentioned the minus S option. That's also alias to hyphen hyphen separate. So this is the thing that controls whether sed treats the input files on the command line as a single stream of data or whether it treats them as separate files. So you need to put a minus S in to get it to treat them as separate files. And the last one we look at today is minus R, or its full form is minus minus regexp, R-E-G-E-X-P hyphen extended. By default, sed uses basic regular expressions, but this is a GNU extension which allows extended regular expression, which of the sort that are used by the egrep command. So we'll be looking at this in a bit more detail today in this episode. Standard sed uses backslashes to denote a number of the special characters in a regular expression, so-called meta characters. But in extended mode, these backslashes are not required. But if you do this, then the resulting regular expression is not portable. So what I want to do today is to talk about the S command some more. That's the substitute command that we looked at last time. So in order to look at this command in more detail, we need to look further at regular expressions. And you probably gathered they can be a fair bit more complex than what we looked at in the last episode. There's a bunch of new meta characters that we'll look at today, and all of them start with a backslash. Now, just as an aside, regular expressions are used all over the place in Unix, in all sorts of tools and editors and that sort of thing. There's a variation between those that use meta characters with a backslash in front of them and those that don't. This can be confusing, so it's a good idea to be aware of the difference between the different tools and their needs in terms of regular expressions. They tend to use similar meta characters, but there's some variability in whether they need a backslash in front of them or not. So what I've done in the notes is I've made a little table of the characters we're going to talk about today, and that's really for your reference. And then I followed that with a section which goes into more detail about each one. So I'll not read out the table because I don't think that's going to be very helpful, but it's there for your reference. We'll dive straight in with the first of these meta characters. And the first one is backslash plus. Now this is a modifier which means one or more of the preceding. So what you do is you put it behind an expression or a character, let's say, and it means one or more of that character or expression. So last time we had expressions like A star B C, meaning an A modified by a star, meaning zero to infinity of these characters, followed by a B and a C. If we change that to A backslash plus BC, then we're matching the sequence ABC, where there's one A, AABC, two A's, AAABC, and so on, to as many A's as you wish. It does not match just BC, because you must have at least one A in that example, okay? Some of the examples towards the end of this episode use this in a bit more detail. Now this is a GNU said extension. The next one is backslash question mark. This is also similar to the asterisk, but it matches zero or one of the preceding expression. So it's a modifier in the same sort of way. So if we were to use the expression S slash A backslash question mark BC slash DEF slash, then that's a substitution expression, which means substitute ABC by DEF. But because the A is followed by a backslash question mark, it can be omitted, or there has to be just one. So it'll just match BC or ABC. And again, this is a GNU said extension as well. Then we get into a collection of regular expression modifiers, which have got braces, curly brackets, as I tend to call them. And the first one is a modifier which says a fixed number of the preceding. So using backslash open curly bracket, then a number, then backslash close curly bracket, we can specify a fixed number of the preceding expression. So using the well-worn ABC example again, I won't read out the entire S substitute command, but if the regular expression is A backslash open curly bracket 3 backslash close curly bracket BC, then what that means is it's to match an A which must occur three times. It's equivalent to typing AAABC. But there's times when you might want to specify a number of that particular character, and it's more convenient not to type it. In the example I've given here, it's a bit of a fiddle to type it in that way. But I'm just making the point, really. The next one is a sort of upgrade from the previous one, where in the curly brackets you have a lower and upper bound. So between I and J of the preceding is the way I've expressed it. So if we go to our example, we've got A followed by backslash open curly bracket 1,5 backslash close curly bracket BC. What that's saying is the A can occur between 1 and 5 times. So that matches ABC, AABC, etc., etc. So I have listed them all out in the notes, but I'm sure you don't want me to read them all out. But anyway, between 1 and 5 A's followed by BC. The third variant of this particular thing is from I or more of the preceding, as I've expressed it in the title. So This one consists of an open curly bracket with the backslash in front of it, followed by a number, a comma, and then backslash close curly bracket. So that means from that number to an infinite number of the preceding character or expression. So in my example of regular expression, I've got a backslash open curly bracket 1 comma backslash close curly bracket bc. So that matches abc, aabc, and so on. There's no limit to the number of a characters. And that's the same as a backslash plus, the one we saw at the start of this list, bc. So it's one from one to any number of a's. But of course, using this form, the starting number can be something other than one, can be greater than one. Now the next topic is not really a meta character, but it's a way of grouping the elements of a regular expression. So all the examples we've worked with so far, they've tended to, they have all been referring their modifiers to a single character. But we can group characters, or indeed regular expressions, into more complex expressions. The way we do that is to use backslash open parenthesis and backslash close parenthesis to enclose them. So going to the tried and tested ABC thing, then if the expression, I'll give you the full expression this time, is s slash backslash open parenthesis abc backslash close parenthesis asterisk def slash ghi slash, then what that substitution is doing is it's wanting to match the expression, the sequence of characters, either DEF or ABC DEF or ABC ABC DEF. So what it's actually saying is the string ABC can occur 0 times, 1 time, 2 times, etc., with multiple instances of ABC in front of the DEF. Now there's a further level of magic, if you like, associated with this grouping. As you write a regular expression with such groups in it, each group is numbered by sed, and it just simply counts the number of backslash open parenthesis occurrences. And this allows the various sub-expressions enclosed in this way to be referenced elsewhere in the expression. And we'll be looking at that shortly. The next meta character is what I've referred to as alternatives. It's possible to build a regular expression with alternative sub-expressions. So one or another of these sub-expressions are going to be matched. And you do that by using the characters backslash then the vertical bar. So say, for example, you want to write a regular expression to match either the string hello world or goodbye world, and you want to find those without an exclamation mark at the end and then add one. So I've given a full command line sequence here to demonstrate it, and I've got an echo with the string in double quotes hello space world in capitals, leading capitals, and then I pipe that with the pipe symbol into sed, and the sed command is followed by minus e open quote s slash hello backslash vertical bar goodbye space world slash ampersand exclamation mark slash close quote. Now what that would seem to be a reasonable way of solving this problem. But the answer you get back is hello exclamation mark space world. If you then fed the same sed expression the string goodbye world, which is my second example, then it puts the exclamation mark at the end after world. So this might be unexpected if you were the first time you tried working with this sort of stuff. What's happened is that said has just matched the hello in the first part of the regular expression. So the replacement ampersand exclamation mark has just resulted in an exclamation mark being placed after this word. In the second case, it's matched goodbye world, and the exclamation mark's been placed properly. So what we actually wanted to do was to match either hello or goodbye followed by the word world. And that's done in my next example, which is echoing hello world to a said command, which contains the S command, which is structured like this. S slash backslash open parenthesis, we're grouping here, hello, backslash vertical bar, that's the alternative symbol, then goodbye, backslash close parenthesis. So we've grouped the hello and the backslash vertical bar with these parentheses. Then the close parenthesis is followed by space world. Then we have a slash, an ampersand, an exclamation mark, slash, quote. So that does put the exclamation mark at the end of the string after hello world. And if you feed it the string goodbye world, it works for that as well. So we've constrained what the two alternatives to this alternative meta character is, what the two alternatives are, I should say, by grouping them. The number of alternatives can be more than two, and I've done a further example that matches farewell in as well as hello, goodbye, and I've done that with another backslash vertical bar farewell, as you can see in the example. So this is a GNU extension, this alternative business. So next we'll look at the subject of greediness in the context of regular expressions. So the way that said and other things that use regular expressions do their matching can sometimes be a little bit unexpected. And the subject of so-called greediness is where more is matched than might be predicted. I've quoted what it says in the GNU manual. The quote is, "Note that the regular expression matcher is greedy, i.e. matches are attempted from left to right, and if two or more matches are possible starting at the same character, it selects the longest." So say, for example, we're trying to process the example file for this episode, which I've called sed_demo2.txt. That's the full text of the about page from the HBR website. And we're looking for a word starting with capital H at the start of a line. You might think, well, the regular expression circumflex, or up arrow as I tend to call it, followed by a capital H, followed by a dot, followed by a backslash plus, meaning a line starting with a capital H and followed by some number of one to many characters, followed by a space, that would do it. Now, I've given an example of what happens if you do this, and I've made the matching string be enclosed by square brackets, just so you can see where the matching began and ended. And I've made it print out only the lines that match. I've used the minus n option in the command line options. And I've used the P flag before I've actually talked about it, but bear with me. It's difficult to know what order to introduce these things in. Looks like I've got this one wrong, doesn't it? Anyway, the command is, this is something you could type at the command line, sed space minus ne. Just to digress for a second, when you have single character options to any Unix, Linux command, you can concatenate them. So minus n space minus e can be concatenated to minus ne. You can't do that if you're using the full form, the minus minus some text things. You can do it for single character ones. Anyway, minus ne space, open quote, s slash circumflex h dot backslash plus space slash, so that's the regular expression, then open square brackets ampersand close square brackets, that means whatever you matched, put it in square brackets, slash, that's the end of the replacement, P. The P on the end says print it, space sed_demo2.txt. So what you get back is, I won't read out all three lines that you get back, but the first line you get back is open square bracket hacker public radio brackets HPR is an internet radio show brackets podcast that space close bracket releases. So what's happened is the regular expression matcher has matched everything from the leading H to the last space on the line. It's gobbled up everything in the dot backslash plus. The matcher has said, well, that can match everything, including spaces, up to the last possible space on the line, the last space on the line. So that's what is referred to as greediness. I've given an example of how you can limit this sort of behavior. And the essence of it is that if you don't put dot backslash plus, meaning any character, one or more of them, and instead you put in the regular expression open square bracket circumflex space close square bracket instead of the dot, then what that means is a not space. The square brackets is a set, makes a set or a list, and the using a circumflex as the first character means everything but the character in the list or characters in the list. What that means is then I want to have one or more not spaces. So that would match the word hacker on the first line, all of which H-A-C-K-E-R are not spaces, but it won't match the space. So what that does is it puts the square brackets in the example here, similar example to before, it puts the square brackets in the result around the word hacker and the space that follows it. So that has constrained what the regular expression matcher can do, and it's curbed its greediness. Just as an aside, other regular expression matchers in other languages, their greediness can be controlled more explicitly, let's put it that way. I won't go into how and that sort of thing, because that's really a massive digression. Maybe I should do a series on regular expressions at some point, but we shall see. So the other element of the S command is the replacement part. And last time we saw the use of the ampersand, which was a way of signifying the whole of the line that matched the regular expression part of the command. And some of the examples we've just seen use that. We're going to look at a few more capabilities of the replacement part. The first one is the back reference. So we were looking at grouping elements of the regular expression a bit earlier on. And what we can do, I made reference to the fact that each of the groups were numbered. Well, we can refer to the groups with the sequence backslash followed by a number. The numbers between 1 and 9, you can't have more groups than that which can be referenced, but it's quite a useful feature. So my first example shows a whole command line where the string hacker public radio is being echoed to a sed command, and the sed command consists of sed space minus e space quote s slash backslash open parenthesis dot backslash plus backslash open parenthesis. So that so far means a whole bunch of any character, one or more of any character, grouped together in a group, so we can refer back to it. That's then followed by a space in the regular expression, then another one of the same of the grouped dot backslash plus and a space, and then another one. So there are three groups, and I think you probably twig that this matches the three words in the string. So the replacement part in this example consists of backslash 3 space, backslash 2 space, backslash 1. Now, backslash 3 refers to the third group, which is radio. /2 refers to the second group, which is public, and /1 refers to the first group, which is hacker. So what gets returned is radio public hacker. One other aspect of the back reference is that they can be used inside the regular expression itself. So my next example shows echoing the string in quotes, run space Lola space run. Never seen that, Phil. I really must get around to seeing it sometime. It's supposed to be very good. And it's piped into a sed command, which consists of sed space minus e space. And then we've got the same sequence of groups that match a word. So just to do one of them, just to remind you, / open parenthesis dot / plus / close parenthesis space. So there's one of those followed by another one. And then the third, instead of having a third one, we simply refer to /1. So what we're saying is whatever matches the first word is to be used as the last one, because we've got a phrase that consists of the same word in position 1 and 3. So if we then invert them or change their order, the replacement is /2 space /1 space /1 close slash close quote. So we end up with the string Lola run run. Now you could have grouped the /1 in the regular expression. I show an example of how that's possible to do, but it makes no sense since it achieves the same end result and it makes sed work harder to achieve it. So the other thing you can do in the replacement part of the s command is to manipulate the case of what you have selected through the regular expression. This is a GNU sed extension, and it allows you to change the case using the sequences / capital L or / lowercase l, / uppercase U, / lowercase U, and / capital E. So the / capital L means turn the replacement to lowercase until you find another one of these case change sequences like / U or / E. / E means stop changing case. / lowercase l means just turn the next character to lowercase. So / capital and lowercase u have a similar effect. They turn the replacement to uppercase until it finds a point to stop, or the next character. And the / capital E, as we've already seen, is the stop mark to stop case conversion. So what I've done here is to reiterate one of the examples we had before, where we echo the string hacker public radio to sed, and we select out the three words. But then in the replacement part, I've put / uppercase U, /1 space, / capital L, /1, and then repeated the same sequence for /2 and /3. So the result of that is to change the word hacker to uppercase, and then to lowercase, then public the same, and radio the same. And my joke was, this is from Ken's script for the community news, where he has a tendency to go, hacker, hacker, public, public, radio, radio. So, feeble joke, but that's my trademark. There is more that we can say about flags as well. We saw the G flag in the last episode, which makes the substitution keep repeating for each line. So every match that it can possibly find in that line, it will iterate over. There's some more that you can use. I've not covered them all here because some of them are quite obscure, I reckon. Anyway, I might squeeze them in later on to a later episode, but really, this is meant to be an introduction to sed. I don't really want to go into every possible corner of it. I'm not even sure I'm equipped to do that, but you probably have turned off long before that. Let's talk about one of these, which is a number flag. It's just a simple number, and what it does, it just applies to that number match. So my example is echoing the string eeny, comma, meeny, comma, miny, all in lowercase, to sed, and the command is sed space minus e space quote s slash ny, they all got ny in the ends of them, those words, slash backslash u, uppercase u, that is, ampersand, slash 2. So what that's saying is find an instance of ny, lowercase ny, which is in each of the three words, change it to uppercase form, and we're using the ampersand to mean the thing that was matched. But at the end of the, after the closing slash, we put a number 2. So what that means is only do this for the second instance of ny. So the result is eeny, comma, meeny, where meeny is M-E-E in lowercase, capital N, capital Y, comma, miny. So that can be quite useful at times. I've certainly used it myself in odd occasions. In fact, to be honest, I'd only discovered it existed when I started preparing this show. But it's quite cool, I think. Then the next flag is the P flag, which I've already made reference to. That is for making the substitute command, the S command, print the pattern space, and it's normally used in conjunction with the minus N command line option, which we've already seen. My example is a sed command which uses minus N space minus E. I didn't join them together in this instance, just to prove that either are possible. And the substitute is in quotes s slash hacker space slash hobby space slash p close quote, and I'm applying this to the file sed underscore demo 2.txt, which is just a file of more text than demo 1. And what it does is it changes the two instances of hacker followed by a space in this file as part of Hacker Public Radio to Hobby Public Radio, and it just prints the two lines, which you can see. So point of P then is that only when a substitution is made does anything get printed, if you've got the N option. I should have said in the notes, but didn't, that if you use this P flag when you don't have a minus N option, then it just repeats the line. So as it prints, the line is printed by the auto print method, which is how sed normally works, and then the P on the end causes it to be printed all over again. I can't see many instances of where you'd want to do that, but so it's usually a mistake, I think. Certainly is in my case. The final flag is the I flag. This is an extension, a GNU sed extension, and they cause the regular expression to be case insensitive. So I simply repeated the same command that we just had, the example we just had, except that in the regular expression I've used hacker in lowercase, replaced that by hobby in mixed case, and I've put the flags I and P on the end of the S expression. And what that does is, it does exactly the same thing as the previous one did, except that it's now case insensitive when it's looking for the word hacker. So that demonstrates that particular point. The uppercase I and lowercase I have no separate significance. You can use either of them as the flag. So at this point, I wanted to talk about some of the further extensions that GNU sed offers in terms of what you can put into regular expressions, and indeed in some cases here you can put them in the replacement as well. So it's got a way of referencing or producing, as I've said in the notes, some special characters, and there's more than I'm talking about here. They're in a section called the same as the section in these notes, and I've put a pointer to that section in the manual. I'm not going to cover them all because I think they're probably too obscure for most purposes, but they're just to refer to the fact that they do exist. But anyway, let me talk about two of the special characters that you can use, and these are backslash N and backslash T. Backslash N represents a new line. You can use it in a regular expression, and you can use it in the replacement part. Backslash T represents a tab, so-called horizontal tab. There is a vertical tab, but that is so obscure, I don't think anybody uses that for its original purpose. It was originally for line printers, as I recall. It made the printer skip several lines down the page. Wow, that's going really back a long way. So there are others, there are hexadecimal sequences and so forth, but if you need them, go and look in the manual. Then there are escapes which match what the manual calls a character class. They're only for use in regular expressions, but I thought I'd mention them because they're pretty useful for writing more general regular expressions. So backslash lowercase w matches any word character. And a word character is any letter or digit or the underscore character. So word in this context really means a sort of identifier as you'd have in a programming language, you know, where you might call your variable ABC underscore one or something. It's not really about English words, but still, it's still pretty powerful. Backslash capital W has the opposite effect. It matches any non-word character. So that would be anything which is not a letter or digit or the underscore character. So that can be a useful shorthand as well. Then we have a weird concept, if you've never come across it before. Backslash B. This matches a word boundary. That is, it matches if the character to the left is a word character and the character to the right is a non-word character. So it doesn't actually match a character. It matches a sort of virtual position in the string. And it operates if... This is confusing in the way it's written up. I've just copied the words straight out of the manual here. So if the character to the left is a word character and the character to the right is a non-word character, it matches this backslash B. And it also says vice versa, which means if the character to the right is a word character and the character to the left is a non-word character, it also matches that. Basically, it matches the beginning and the end of a word. There are alternatives to this, interestingly, and I found that these are not that well documented. And they are backslash less than and backslash greater than. So that's a sort of a bracketing thing. And they mean the same thing. They mean the word boundaries, except that backslash less than is used for the left boundary and backslash greater than is used for the right boundary. So if you want to denote a word, then you can put those around it. You're looking for an actual word. I've got some examples a bit later on that uses them. The final one in this list is backslash capital B, and that matches everywhere but on a word boundary. That is, it matches if the character to the left and the character to the right are either both word characters or both non-word characters. Now, I haven't really come up with a way of using this yet. Maybe that's a challenge for you if you get this far. I need to do some more investigation, but I've not really found that to be amazingly useful. But I put it in just for completeness. So the final bit of this episode, which I fear has got rather long, is a series of examples. I've tried to put a moderate number of examples into the notes so you've got something to refer to. It's one of the things that I find I learn better from than simply reading the manual, because otherwise all I'm doing is reading you the manual. So I try to put some effort into making some usable examples for you. So example one is a demonstration of the minus I option. What I've got is a series of bash commands which do various things, which I will skim through fairly quickly, but I'll try and explain for you. So the first command in this group is a for loop, which says for f in, then curly bracket a capital A dot dot capital C, close curly bracket. If you remember, if you've listened to my series on bash hints and tips, then you will know that that is a way of making a loop where the loop variable goes from the first to the last in this group. So it causes F to be set to capital A, capital B, and capital C. After that, we have a semicolon space do space echo dollar random. Dollar random is a bash variable, a sort of magic thing that whenever you use it, whenever you expand it, it returns a random number. And the result of this echo is piped to dollar F. So, and then semicolon space done. So what the loop is doing, it is creating three files called A, B, and C and putting a random number in each. Then the next line is a sed command where I have sed space minus I, it's a lowercase I as you'll be aware, open quote saved, S-A-V-E-D underscore asterisk dot S-A-V, close quote, minus E space quote S slash 4 slash at slash G, close quote, curly bracket capital A dot dot capital C, close curly bracket. So what that is doing is it's telling sed to operate on all three of the files, and it is to edit each one to replace any instances of 4, the number 4, the digit 4, by an at sign, just for the point of, just so you can see what happens. There's no other point to it really. But the I setting, saved underscore asterisk, that will be used to make the backups, and the backups will be named saved underscore a dot sav and saved underscore b etc dot save. So the next command is cat space curly brackets a dot dot c, and that then reports that there are three files. It just lists them all out one after the other, and so you just see a list of three numbers, and each number contains an at sign because they each had fours in them and they got changed. And then I also cat the files called saved underscore curly bracket capital A dot dot capital C close curly bracket dot sav, and those are the original files which have been saved by virtue of using the minus I with an extension after it. And you can see there the same, the original numbers with the fours intact. So as always, fairly contrived, but hopefully it gets across the message of what you can do with this minus I option. Example two, now this is an instance of operating on the second example file that I've provided for this episode, and it's called sed underscore demo 3.txt. And this contains some statistics that are pulled from the HPR site. You can do it yourself if you want to. It's called stats.php. I think I've referenced it in the links at the bottom. It contains various useful things like how long to the next free slot, see how long the queue is, and various other things. So imagine we're trying to write a bash script to parse it, and we're actually interested in the number of days to the next free slot. And we want the answer to that in a variable. So the line in question in this file consists of the string days to next free slot colon and then the number. And on the day that I'd sampled it, the number was 8. Probably is today, actually, because the queue's going down, as it does. In the file, there are two lines beginning with the word days, and so we have to make sure that we get the right one. So my example shows a variable DTNFS, which is days to next free slot, at least is in my mind, equals, and then double quote. Remember that double quote in Bash is the so-called soft quote. Inside double quotes, you can get command and a variable substitution to go ahead. The so-called hard quotes, which are single quotes, don't allow this. Anyway, within the double quotes, we have dollar open bracket and then a sed command, close bracket, double quotes. And this is a command substitution. So in these parentheses, are a sed command, and the command is sed space minus ne space, and then we have a substitute. The substitute is attempting to find the line that we're interested in, days to next free slot, and it's going to pull out the number at the end. Now, I've gone a little bit, can we call it overkill? I've gone over the top with my matching mechanism here, but it's really to demonstrate the sort of things that you can do in a regular expression. So the regular expression consists of a circumflex, meaning beginning of line, then the words days space two, then a list. Now the list is in square brackets, and it consists of a circumflex colon close square bracket. So what that means is I'm looking for a not colon, any character that is not a colon. And that, and the list is followed by backslash plus. So we're looking for one or more not colons. And then we're going to follow that with a colon. That's looking for a line beginning days two, followed by some other stuff up to a colon. We're using this list business to prevent any potential greediness in the regular expression matcher. The colon's then followed by another list, which consists of a backslash T in a space. So we're saying here that we're looking for either a tab character. Remember, with backslash T is one of the specials that you can use, meaning a tab, and or a space. So we're looking for either a tab or a space. There's a backslash plus that follows it, so we're looking for one or more of these. And that's because when you look at the line, it looks like the colon's followed by a space, but you don't always know. It's quite hard to work out what a thing that looks like a space actually is. Sometimes it can be a tab character, which is invisible, of course. So it's a good idea to when you're matching spaces of this sort, to put in this sort of thing so that you're covered for whatever it actually is. It is really a tab that's in the file that you get back. And after that, we have a group, backslash open parentheses, then in square brackets 0-9, close square brackets, backslash plus, backslash close parentheses. So that's a group which consists of the digits 0-9, and we expect one to many digits. There will be no instances where there are no digits, but we're expecting, we could have, you know, double digits, or even three digits. Can you imagine that? So that's the end of the regular expression. So there's a slash that follows it. And we simply replace that with backslash one, which is a reference to that group, which is the number that we found. Close the replacement with a slash, follow that with a P. So that particular said expression will look for that line, pull out the number, and return it. And then the final bit in these parentheses that are the command substitution is the name of the file, which is sed_demo3.txt. So what that should do then is to run sed to pick out that particular number and stick it into the variable dtnfs. And there's an echo which follows it, and the echo returns, it actually consists of the word or the letters dtnfs equals, so that the result you get will show that that's the variable we're looking at. So you'd use that to debug the bit of scripting you've done so far, and that's followed by $dtnfs close quote. So you should get back the string dtnfs equals and then 8. Okay, so like I say, that's a fragment of what you might be putting together in a bash script, and you might just type that on the command line to prove that what you're planning to do works. You might put it in the script itself to prove that that it does actually work before you move on to the next bit. One possibility is that for some reason, maybe the file format has changed, the sed command doesn't match anything and dtnfs contains nothing. So that's something you should be considering when you're writing the bash script, and you should check for that and take appropriate action if you were doing that particular job. Example 3 is a case where we're using the backslash n escape we came across earlier, and we're going to use it in the replacement part. And here we're simply looking for the string Hacker Public Radio. We've put Hacker Public Radio as the literal text in the regular expression part of the sed command in the sed call, and we've made each one a group. And the replacement part simply consists of \1\n\2\n\3\n, and so the result of that will be that when the sed command runs and it finds Hacker Public Radio, it will write out the words Hacker Public Radio each on a new line. And we're running this against sed_demo2.txt. In the example, I pipe the result to a head command, head -4. So we just get the first four lines. Otherwise, you'd see the whole file. There are ways you can get sed to do this as well, actually, but we haven't got that far yet. That'll be next week. Next episode, I should say. Not next week. I'm not going to be that quick. So that will do what it said it will do, and that will work fine. The \n is a nice way of representing a new line. Alternative ways are a real pain. But I did think as I was doing this, how would you write a bit of sed to join all the lines of the input file together? You would think that it might be possible to do \sed \(-e\)\n\n\ and run that against sed_demo2.txt. You'd think that sed would simply strip off all the line breaks, the new lines at the ends of all of the lines, and make it into one long line. That doesn't happen. And that's because sed grabs one line at a time, puts it into the pattern space that we mentioned in the last episode, and in doing so, it removes the trailing new line. Then it applies the script that you've put together on your command line or whatever, in a file or whatever, and it, having processed it, it will print it out and it will add a trailing new line. It won't print it out if you have a -n option, of course, as we know, but it will add the trailing new line back again. So at the point of which the script runs against it, there's no new lines to strip. There are ways in which you can concatenate all the lines of a file, but we'll leave that to another episode where we have learned about more commands within sed. Now, we mentioned the -r option, or regex extended is its full form. That option we mentioned earlier on. And if we were to run example 3, the one where we turn Hacker Public Radio into each word on a separate line, then you would type that particular sed command without, well, you'd use -r, \sed\-r\-e\\s\, then you would put \hacker\ etc, etc. In other words, you don't need the backslashes in front of the parentheses. You do need backslashes inside the replacement. You need \1\n, etc, but you don't need them in the regular expression because we have switched to extended regular expression mode, which doesn't use the backslashes. It's a useful feature, certainly saves some typing and makes the regular expression a lot more readable, but it's an extension and it's not portable. So personally, I don't use it because mostly I don't want to be in a situation where I'm faced with a sed that doesn't have that capability and I forget how the hell to use it. So that's just my thinking anyway. Example 5, then the last one, we're nearly there. One of the things you're often called upon to do when you're processing text is to take in a string and remove leading and trailing spaces. Well, I was thinking about this and I rather naively wrote a bit of sed that didn't work, so I thought I would share it with you. The thing that didn't work was echo, \ and then a bunch of spaces, hello world, !, a bunch of spaces, \, piped into \sed\-e\\ \ I'm going to call it up arrow, but circumflex space star, okay, so that means any spaces, zero or more spaces at the beginning of the line. Then we have a backslash vertical bar, which is the alternative operator. Then after that, we have space star dollar, asterisk, whatever you want to call it, space asterisk dollar. So that means zero or more spaces at the end of the line. We close that regular expression with a slash, then the replacement part is nothing, and close quote. So if you do that, then what you then get returned is the string hello world with no spaces on the front of it. But, and you look at it and think, oh, that works, that's great, right, on to the next thing. But it doesn't actually work. If you do what I've shown in the second example, which is to add another S expression inside the quotes to the sed command, where it replaces it after this space trimming business, it replaces the start of the line with a less than sign, then another one that replaces the end of the line with a greater than sign. So it puts these symbols in as sort of brackets around the string. You will see that you get a less than sign, hello world, exclamation mark, a bunch of spaces, and a greater than sign. So in other words, it didn't remove the trailing spaces. So what's happened here is that sed has spotted leading spaces and has removed them, but then it stopped. Well, surprise, surprise. That's because you didn't tell it to keep going. And the answer is you simply add a G to the end of that first S command, the G flag, to tell it to keep going. So the final example is the same as the second one, but with a G in it. And you will see that the result is hello world with no spaces, and it's enclosed in these less than and greater than signs, just to prove that there are no spaces there. And that's just this, sometimes you're experimenting with a regular expression with a bit of sed and you're not quite sure what it's doing. Sometimes it's useful to do that type of thing just to prove to yourself that it works. Then you'd strip out that business of adding delimiters around the thing and say, right, and that's finished, now I can move on to the next task. So hopefully that's useful. Okay, well, that's it for this time. Sorry it got so long. It's hard to know where to stop, really. Next time, we're going to be looking at more of the sed command set. We've only looked at one command so far, so hopefully we're not going to take quite so long. Well, I know we're not going to take as long to cover the next batch, but hopefully you'll be following along with me and you'll find it useful. Okay then, bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.